You have your Bibles, you can be turning with me to Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses, verses 19 and 20 today. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. As Pastor Don said in the video at the beginning, we will be starting a new sermon series called Three Circles. This is something that's been laid on my heart for some time, several months, and it finally all lined up and worked out to where I could come before you and preach these 3 weeks, and we can learn about two things, and that's what I want us to take away from these three sermons, and that is, if we don't know Jesus, how do we know Jesus? And if we do know Jesus, how do we share Jesus? So those are two very important principles for us to remember. You know, Jesus taught us very, very valuable lessons throughout the Scriptures. Countless miracles, countless principles, countless standards in which we should live our life. Time and time again, He told us so many things. And everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, is very important. And we should make it our goal to be as familiar as possible with Him and with His teachings. However, if the last words are of any significance, then certainly these last words that we're about to read from Christ Himself must mean something to us. There must be some importance. They must weigh heavily on our hearts. And frankly, friends, they must change our souls and our lives and the way we do things. If they don't change everything, then I don't know what will. But would you stand with me today for the reading of God's words, His final words in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It says this: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Father God, just coming before you today, Father, we're so in awe of what it is that you've done for us. Father, as we've heard in the song today, there's power in the blood. Father, would we apply that blood to our lives if we haven't already? Would we make a decision to follow you today? Father, would we keep procrastinating, or would we make a decision that would forever change our lives? Father, if we already know you, Father, would these final words that you've spoken, would they pierce our soul? Would they change our life? And Father, would they change the mission in which we have focus on in the world around us? Father, I thank you once again for allowing us this time to go through the truth of what you've done for us, how it is that we can share it with another, and Father, if we don't have it in our own life, how we can apply it to our own life. Father, be with your people today. Lead us and guide us, and may your word pierce our heart today. I say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. You may be seated. So what we learn real quickly, Jesus has given us a mission. All believers are called to be faithful gospel witnesses to the places we live, to the places we work, and to the places we play. We can't leave it to the professionals, if you will. I don't know how many of you have ever heard that phrase. Let's just leave it to the professionals, the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists. But we can't just leave it to the professionals because, frankly, friends, there's not enough of us. Statistically, in order to reach the whole world with the gospel, we need 10,000 believers who are willing to reach 5 people each with the gospel. Now, that's a lot of people, but all of these cannot be preachers. In fact, the Bible says this in Acts 4:13. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Think of that verse for a minute. First, what a slight to Peter and John, right? They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Well, we think that, but then look at the next part, that they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They paid attention to Peter and John because Peter and John paid attention to Jesus. God didn't use preachers, He used everyday people. In fact, people that the Bible itself referred to as unlearned and ignorant. God placed each of us in this place in time to be His outposts for the gospel. I want you to think of an outpost for a minute. What does an outpost look like? Well, an outpost could be considered a temporary home or a camp, a place we make camp. That's how we'll word it today. For us, in sharing the gospel, an outpost is going to be considered a place in which we don't just make camp, but we share the gospel in that place. And an outpost could be anywhere. It could be our desk at work. An outpost could be at the sports field, ball field. An outpost could be the places that we enjoy going. Maybe it's the gym. Maybe it's wherever it is. These places are our outposts to share the gospel. Acts 1:8 was another version of Jesus' final words. And Jesus tells his followers that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. So what does that mean exactly? We have to see ourselves as outposts of God's kingdom. We are God's representatives who are living in enemy territory. All around us there is evil. Yet our God is looking to transform the world that we find ourselves in. The people that are around us, the people that we encounter each day, God wants to transform them with the gospel. But the devil seeks to destroy. As God's people, we are called to more, friends. There are more who don't believe than those who do believe, and there are many who say that they believe, but frankly, they don't really understand it. In fact, did you know that even though 69% of Virginians say that they believe in Christianity, about 30% of them is all that say that they read the Bible? How can you be a Christian and not be in God's Word? You see, that's why our homes have to be gospel outposts in our neighborhoods. Our desks have to be gospel outposts in our schools and in our offices. We have to be gospel outposts when we're out about in the community, when we're at the grocery store, when we're at the ballpark, when we're at the gym, wherever it is, we have to be a gospel outpost. So let's begin the process of understanding how it is that we can become those outposts today. We can begin with this. I want to start out with a question. Why do you think that God created you? Think about it for a minute. Why do you think that God created you? What would be the purpose in us as a creation? Why does God need us anyway? We can begin that with this thought. God created us and He loves us. I want to think back to the very beginning. You know, the reality is that we mean a great deal to our God. We find that God created us because He wanted us to have a relationship with Him. And He found us important enough that He wanted us to walk alongside Him. In fact, He spent all of this time creating all of this beautiful earth, friends. Look around you. All the wonders, all the beauty we see, the trees, the animals, the seas, the other wonderful things. Do you know what the pinnacle of His creation was? Us. What we know is that God designed the world and everything in it. He created everything as it was meant to be, and it was good. And you would find that in Genesis 1:1-25. However, in that creation, the pinnacle that is yourself, He created something that was so important to Him that all the beauty He had previously created, it was second. It came in second to one creation, man. Out of all the beauty around us, every wonderful thing we see, all the things we enjoy, I don't know what and all you guys enjoy. Most of you guys know that I like to be outdoors, so I enjoy God's creation quite a bit. When we think about going outdoors and looking at all the beautiful creation, go out and look at the side of the mountain here, how beautiful it is. Yet, God created one thing that was most important, man. He had made a creation that would come into the world and rule over the world. But you see, what's crazy is that God went even farther. With us as His creation, He saw us as something special. In fact, Scripture says that He created humans in His image. the pinnacle of His creation. He called us very good. Genesis 1:26 through 2:24. Think of the love of our God. Not only did He create us, but He created us in His image. Not only did He love us, but He loved us so much that we were the pinnacle of His creation. He loves us so much that we are made in His image, that we are made with a purpose to walk alongside the Father. And the amazing thing about all of this is He still keeps going. After creating us in His image to subdue the earth, He went farther. God created a design for every aspect of our life. Think of all of the things that you do. Think of all the craziness in your life, the things you partake in, the places you go, the aspects of your emotions and your body and the things that He created in you, and He cared about it all. See, what's crazy about this truth is that God didn't just care about the big things, right? He could have only paid attention to the aspects of our life that was major. But the reality is that God segregates our life and determines what He has a design for and what He hasn't. For example, He could have designed us a human and then placed us on the earth and said, "Have at it, guys. Do whatever you want. Whatever happens, happens. I made you, now go." But He didn't. He cared about every aspect and every detail of our life. We can go down the list here, and we will. First, He cared about our gender identity. Genesis 1:27, He created us male and female. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So He cared about our gender identity. Think of how much He could have neglected there, right? He created man, have at it. But no, He didn't. He cared. Next, He cared about our families. Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful and multiply," He said, "and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." He cared about our families. He cared that we would have someone to walk alongside us with. He cared that we would have others like us. He cared about our rest life. In Genesis 2:1-3, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." Think of that. He could have said, "Have at it, guys. Work 7 days. Don't ever rest. Don't ever have time to reflect in my presence. Don't ever have time to listen to my truth. Just work, work, work." But He didn't. He cared about our rest. And He cared about our marriages. Genesis 2:24, where He told us to leave and cleave. He said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." He cared about our marriages. Friends, those are just a few of them. He cared about every aspect of our life. All the details, all the things that we would have probably neglected, all the things that we would have looked over and cared less, we would have said, "Go at it, guys." But God didn't do that. God cared about every aspect of our lives. Why would He care about these individualized aspects of my life and your life so very much? See, He desired to be a part of our life to the most intimate of details. He didn't just desire to create us and leave. He didn't just desire to put us on this earth and then depart from us. He cared about the details of your life because He wanted to be a part of your life. He wanted to have a presence with you. He wanted to dwell with you. And friends, He wanted you to walk with Him. The real reason He desires for the innermost aspects of our life is because He simply wants to be a part of us. And the same desire, He hopes that we will want to be a part of Him. And friends, why shouldn't we want to be a part of Him? Look at all of the aspects of you that He has cared for. The things that no one else has cared for. The things maybe you don't even like yourself. But He cared. He cared. And He did all of this just so that He may have a relationship with us. God designed us for relationship with Him. That's the simple truth of God's design. He designed us for relationship with Him. The very beginning, the only reason we were so important, the only reason we were so special, so we could have a relationship with the Father. In fact, not only did He create us with the thought of a relationship with Him, our relationship isn't as simple as a working relationship, right? A lot of us have working relationships or family relationships that we have that are maybe we really care about. Relationships in our life that are important. But God wanted an even deeper relationship with us. He created us to have unbroken communion with Him. He didn't break up. He didn't create us so that we could have this broken, separated relationship. He didn't create us so that we could be a part of Him when we felt like we needed Him the most. Or He didn't create us so that we could have a relationship with Him when it felt right. He wants unbroken communion with us. Constant relationship. He cares about us deeply and desires that we care for Him just as deeply. He actually said when He created the world in Genesis 3:8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." When God created us, He walked with us. When God created us, He talked with us. He had a desire to be a part of our life and to have that deep communion. The issue came when we had sin enter the world. You see, Adam and Eve were given one commandment: do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the only rule given in a beautiful garden where they would commune with God for as long as they desired. That's it. Don't eat of the tree. Don't do this one thing and you can live in paradise with God. But as many of you know, when it comes to sin, temptation has a way of drawing in with false promises. And as the devil tempted them, it became more and more appealing. Eat of this fruit, you'll become wiser than God. Until they finally did the unthinkable, friends. They ate of the tree and they sinned against God. So now, where is our hope? Because sin has separated us from that deep communion with the Father that He desired. So now there's really only one hope, and it's the gospel. The unbroken communion can be restored through the gospel. In fact, I want to take a minute to direct your attention to the screens this morning, and let's look at exactly what the three circles is as we begin to look at this series and go through this series. I want to talk you through this. As we see the three circles there, you see where we're at today. God's design, what we discussed. God's design, as we learned today, was to have a deep communion with us, to walk with us, to talk with us, to be a part of our life, and to care about us. And He wanted us to care about Him. But our ancestors, Adam and Eve, sinned just as many, well, all of us have. And they separated us from God. And that leads us into a state of brokenness. You see the little arrows going off of the brokenness. When we see these arrows, they could all mean different things. We're broken because we feel alone. We're broken because we feel like we can't leave the state of guilt. We're broken because we can't get away from our sin desire. We're broken because we can't get away from our addictions. But it led us into a state of brokenness. If we look down to the bottom, you'll see the gospel. Many of you have heard me say the gospel is simply the story of Jesus. The truth that he went to the cross of Calvary, that he died for the sins of mankind, and he did so so that he could, just as the words say, we could repent and believe in him. And if it was not for the gospel, if he didn't give us an opportunity to repent and believe in him, we would have no way back to recover and pursue his design, which is for us to have a relationship with him. So the good news today, friends, is we can still recover and pursue this great design that we talked about today. There's still a place to go. We can seek forgiveness today. We can seek repentance today. Believe in him, and we can recover and pursue his design for us through the gospel. Now, as we have talked around the three circles, and we've talked around his design for us, I want us to take a few moments this morning. I want us to think about the different people in our lives that we know who, frankly, don't know Christ. They've never made the decision to follow him. You know, it's a sad world that we have friends who don't follow Jesus, but it's a sadder world if we don't tell them about him. And I think one failure that we can make as Christians is to always sit around and say, let's share the gospel. But we never learn how. We never pray for those people. We never seek out those people. We never encourage them to hear the truth of God's good news. And so sometimes we miss out on the opportunity to share the gospel because we come up with excuses. Well, I've never done it before. Well, I don't know how to do it. But I don't want that to be an excuse for us anymore. I don't want our excuse to be, well, I've never done it, or I don't know how to do it. And so as we've went through the three circles today, we're coming to a close here. And on the corners of the pulpit, you'll see some prayer cards. I'm actually going to step out and get one as I'm talking to you today. You'll see some prayer cards here on the corners. It says, who will you pray for? You know, out of all the people that you know many who don't know Christ. More than you would ever begin to even imagine until you really sit down and start thinking about it. Trust me, it was kind of eye-opening to me. Because I sat down and done this, and I thought, how many people can I actually come up with that don't know Christ? And in a matter of minutes, I came up with 8 or 9. And I'm their friend. I'm their family. And I didn't tell them about Jesus. What if the day comes, friends, and that day comes for us, and we go on up to heaven, and we realize that our dear friend's not there. We know they didn't know Jesus, but we just figured someone else would tell them. The preacher at the church would tell them. And we never told them. So here's what I'm going to do. The prayer cards are sitting on each corner. And as we come to a close here, as Brother Marty comes up here in just a minute, I want to encourage you today, not just to come to the altar, just to come. Let's take these prayer cards. Fill them out this morning. Stick them in your pocket. And then lead by action. Let's come to the altar and let's pray for the names that you've written down. And friends, if you're here today and you say, I didn't understand what Christ did for me, but I understand now. Friends, if you've seen that he has cared for you so deeply and you've never decided to follow him, you've never decided to make that communion with him as it should be, would you do so today? whatever God may, ever how God may be leading you today. As Brother Marty comes now, ever how he may be leading you today, would you listen to his call? Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you, Father, I'm just humbled today by how much you love me, how much you love us, that you created us to have communion with you, to have a relationship with you, to walk closely with you. And Father, I'm praying today that we not neglect that love. But Father, that we understand that what you have done for us has warranted a response. It's warranted a call. Father, may we not go another day and not have that communion with you. And Father, if we're walking with you today, may we not go another day with the excuse of, I don't know how to tell another about you. I don't know how to share your truth. Father, instead, today, would we make it a day in which we are going to begin to pray for those in our lives who don't know you. And we're going to commit to try to have a conversation with them, to try to tell them about the truth of you. Father, I pray today that you would be with your people. You would lead us and guide us. I say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. Would you stand with me?